I'm Kane native Ed Rose, and this is Citizen Kane PA. On this weekly broadcast, I uncover little-known facts and some favorite and enduring memories from the hilltop. This week's program is called Darkness in the Afternoon. On Sunday morning, September 24, 1950, the sun appeared as a luminous disk in the leaden sky. In the early afternoon, heavy cloud cover with an odd yellow cast moved in from the northwest. The yellow tones darkened gradually as the cloud cover thickened. By 3 p.m., the hilltop was enveloped in total darkness. A light rain ensued, followed by a dusting of snow. Birds went to roost and cattle came in from the fields. Dogs bayed at the sky while others sought cover. The streets were swarmed with confused residents trying to make sense of this incredible oddity. The local switchboard was jammed with neighbors calling neighbors as friends and family searched for a logical explanation. The darkness reportedly began in Cleveland about 1 p.m. and spread southward and eastward. Reports from the National Weather Bureau said that the phenomenon extended from Chicago to Williamsport, Pennsylvania. At 3:30 in the afternoon, Kane Assistant Fire Chief Vince Perotti called West Penn Power and urged that the streetlights be turned on as a general safety measure and in case of fire. At Forbes Field in Pittsburgh, for the first time in history, the lights were turned on for a day game against the Cincinnati Reds. According to the Bradford Era, some people thought it was the end of the world or a spectacular total eclipse of the sun. Others theorized that huge guns exploding in Korea had caused the calamity. Others had no doubt that the Russians were involved. The utter stillness of the atmosphere and the weird lighting effects in the sky led many to believe that an atom bomb had been released and that Judgment Day was at hand. Government reports blamed the smoke on forest fires in Canada, but for some who witnessed the event even 68 years later, questions as to the cause of the blackout still remain. It was a hot summer that year, and forest fires in Canada had been burning for weeks out of control. The worst fires were northwest of Edmonton, where more than 300 square miles of land were blackened. In northern Alberta, more than 700 firefighters had been on the line for over a week, battling nearly 30 individual forest fires that threatened small towns, farm homes, and valuable timber tracts. In Philadelphia, the sun turned lavender. And Philadelphia scientists were the first to discredit the reports that Canadian forest fires could have caused the change in the sun's color. All agreed that it was unique, but they admitted that the odd coloration was probably due to peculiar formations of ice crystals in the smoke and noted that the temperature had dropped rapidly and that the weather was cooler than normal. The Chicago Weather Bureau received reports of varied sun colors, purple, pink, yellow, and brown. At Grand Rapids, the sun turned blue and displayed a yellow aura. Regardless of what caused this frightening and baffling darkness on that Sunday afternoon back in 1950, it was an experience that will not soon be forgotten by those who witnessed it. A check of the history book showed that a similar blackout of the Northeast occurred 170 years earlier in 1780. An account entitled Wonderful Dark Day details that event. It may easily be imagined that as the deep and mysterious darkness which covered the land on May the 19th, 1780, filled all hearts with wonder and multitudes with fear, so the return at last of the brightness and beauty characteristic of the month and of the season brought gladness again to the faces of the young and composure to the hearts of the aged. For never before did nature appear clothed in so attractive an attire of sunshine, sky, and verdure. Well, that's all for this week, friends. please send your feedback and story ideas to citizenkanepa@gmail.com. And thank you for listening.